This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Thank you for making part of this your day. We cover a lot of different topics and, of course, a number of candidate interviews mixed in. Another one today, Republican Dennis Lunthicum, a current District 28 state senator, currently running for Secretary of State. Dennis, thanks for being on this afternoon.
You bet. It's good to be on your radio show. I think we've done one interview in the past, but it's been a long time. So thank you for inviting me back.
Well, you bet. And let's refresh folks about your background, both occupationally and your work in state government. Tell us more about all of that.
Right. So Diane and my wife and I have lived here for 30 years. In fact, in these 30 years, we raised our children at our ranch location, which is outside of Klamath Falls. We've lived off the grid. In other words, no power line comes to our home. We've lived off the grid in a sustainable fashion for these past 30 years. And so I carry this stewardship model around with me everywhere I go. I've been a Klamath County commissioner for 4 years, a state senator for 8 years, and the senator position at one time included Crook County and Lake County, but today only includes Southern Deschutes, all of Klamath County, and the eastern portion, northeastern portion of Jackson County. So it's all a part of Jackson, Klamath, and Deschutes.
And you mentioned, and this is sort of a side note, living off the grid for so long. What led to deciding to do that?
Well, it is mostly the expense. It was, you choose a place where you would like to live, what you think it's pretty or handsome, and you say, this will be great fun. And then you realize it's monstrously expensive to bring power back to your home. And so even 30 years ago, after spending $40,000 to bring power back to the home, if you ask, what do I get for my $40,000? The utility guy will tell you a monthly bill. We promise we'll send you a bill every month. And this is just a lot of money to bring something that's easily installed in a neighborhood to a home that's a little bit further beyond the sidewalks. So it was actually a great experience. I know the ins and outs of electricity, of solar, of needing diesel in a diesel generator, and powering tools in my wood shop with the energy that comes from the sun until it's cloudy or rainy like we often experience here in the Pacific Northwest. And then all of a sudden you need a consistent source of power. And that comes basically from carbon intense fuels like diesel and whatnot. So it's been a fantastic experience for me, my wife, and kids as well.
So before the legislature, before the work with Klamath County and the commission, talk about your occupational background.
Right. I come from a software development and database management background. I started at Hughes Aircraft Company in communications and data processing arena, and then migrated into private industry. Hughes Aircraft is private, but defense contractors basically have these giant government contracts. So I navigated from there into a real estate firm and was senior vice president for management information systems, programming, lead processing, and those kinds of things. And then I was a senior vice president at Pacific Mutual Life Insurance Company for a number of years before coming to Klamath County, where I maintained a small business servicing giant corporate structures that are here in Klamath. Like I worked for maybe 15 years at Gerald Wynn as a independent software developer. And Gerald Wynn, at the time, was the world's largest window and door manufacturing facility. So it was a great place for me to cut my teeth in an industry that I did not have exposure to beforehand.
Interesting. So why pursue the office of Secretary of State? What led to that?
Well, mainly it's a understanding. I have a perspective and most of your listeners will realize this too. Government actors are more capable probably than any corporate actor or other actors for coordinating, organizing, deploying propaganda, censorship, aggressively manipulating data and statistics to steer the public narrative. What we as people, what we get told all the time is the corporate structure is the big bad guy, and corporations can do terrible things. But they're even more ominous when they have government backing or they get supported and instigated by government. And so I have a free speech perspective that says free speech is our answer. This is why, first of all, it was a constitutionally First Amendment protection, because our founders knew, and we should realize also, that free speech is a pragmatic, practical, relevant tool for determining fact from fiction. You got to be able to talk about these things, understand right from wrong, appropriate from inappropriate. When government gets involved and calls things untrue, hateful, or intolerable, government has stepped across a line. What makes you or I think that a government actor knows best what's right or wrong? And we see that with the Secretary of State implementing misinformation. It's called MDM, misinformation, disinformation, or malinformation, and actually censoring, surveilling, and investigating individuals who may have said something that they, quote, determined was inappropriate. Now, how in the world they decide it's inappropriate is they decide whether it empowers them as government actors or it empowers the people. And if you're empowering people over government, you're doing the wrong thing. We're going to call that bad acting and malinformation or disinformation or misinformation. And I'm fighting for the little guy. So I'm running for Secretary of State to put an end to their MDM love affair.
How would you explain the role of the Secretary of State, the various things that are tasked with leading that office?
Well, the office has four distinct obligations. First of all, they are the chief elections officer for the state. This underneath the Secretary of State are county employees that run the county clerk's offices. And they're responsible from statute for actually exercising, tallying, counting, and managing the vote. But the Secretary of State office is responsible for ensuring election integrity across the state in all the various districts and voting areas that happen within the state. The second thing that they're responsible for is they're the chief auditor for the state of Oregon. And as chief auditor, that's a fundamentally important office because everybody on Main Street knows what it's like to go through an audit and be audited and have questions asked and be required to produce information. The state is often very negligent when it comes to pursuing the hard questions that need to be asked. And so I will step into that role and help increase the primary focus of auditor to help the public understand what's running correctly or rightly with state government and where mistakes have been made and where mistakes need to be corrected.
What do you think would be some of the misconceptions? Maybe you've heard them as you travel around the state from residents about the misconceptions of what a Secretary of State does.
I don't know that I hear misconceptions about what the Secretary of State does, but I do hear complaints about the Secretary of State's office. You know, one of the controversies that's swirling in the news now is the non-citizens being registered to vote in Oregon. This is clearly a misstep by the Secretary of State's office, and they like to pretend they've got it handled. And the governor even called for a temporary audit to DMV registrations. But we've been registering people for years in this malfunctioning environment, and there's no telling how many people are registering inappropriately and how we would research and find the bottom of that pile. So that's where the most controversy is. And this needs to be corrected to ensure fair and open access to all legal voters. And it's interesting that the current controversy is around U.S. passports and Oregon driver's licenses. But there's another method for registering that only requires four digits of a Social Security number. There's no valid check or investigation that can be performed on four digits of a Social Security number. You you could always scan the driver's license and review it, quote, investigate it. Same with a U.S. passport or a French passport. You could review it and say, oops, that's a French passport. And just because the individual has a French passport doesn't mean he's not also a U.S. citizen. So there needs to be investigation. Now, when it comes to four digits of a Social Security number, there is no investigation possible because it's just, you know, it's untrackable. I guarantee nobody can walk into the lotto office and say, where's my winnings, if they have four digits out of nine required for the winning lotto number. And so what we're doing with election integrity from a from the legislative perspective, because the legislature put this rule into place, it's in law, it's in statute, the legislature needs to fix it. As Secretary of State, I cannot fix it, but we will be saddled, the state will be saddled with trying to investigate things that, quite frankly, aren't clearly available to investigative review.
Now, earlier this week, we got a release out from the governor's office. The Republican House leader had comments about it as well. Regarding additional voters that have been found on rolls that shouldn't be there, prompted actions by the governor and the current Secretary of State. When you look at the automatic registration of voters, is that something that you think maybe should not be taking place?
I do think that. However, it is law. It's been put in place by the legislature. And so I can't really say, nope, we're not doing this anymore. The governor, under her executive order or, you know, called for a pause, quote unquote, on mass registration of people. But we've been registering people like this for years. And so you'll see the voter rolls in Oregon used to be about 40 Democrat, 40 Republican, 10% other non-affiliated. Today, it's 30 Republican, 30 Democrat, and 40% non-affiliated. And I know many anecdotal circumstances where people have moved and changed their driver's license address and quickly lost their registration and become non-affiliated. The problem with shuffling everybody into a non-affiliated is you actually cut off half their vocal cords when they go to speak in this electoral process. They miss the primary season. They miss the Democrat ballot. They miss the primary Republican ballot. And they only get a say after all the dust has settled. And I think that's inappropriate for the state to do that purposely, to navigate people to non-affiliated voter status when we should allow them to choose when they want to register, the party they want to register, and make registration and voting a key component of their life and lifestyle versus the key component of the state's agenda.
What about the idea of making the Secretary of State a nonpartisan office? Has that got any traction?
I don't think so. I think the best way to do it would be to require the Secretary of State be partisan from the opposite party of the legislature. In that fashion, you would get somebody who has a keen sense of appropriate action, and instead of being a go-along, get-along, nice guy with the ruling party, they would have a perspective that would say, wait a minute, we ought to investigate this, that, or the other thing. There's a handful of legislative bills that should have never been passed. They were... House Bill 2681 keeps even those people who are deceased or moved out of state on the active voter roll. There's House Bill 4133, which also allows non-registered voters to be implicated in elections. And 3291 is the four-digit four-digit Social Security number. Those all got passed by majority, the Democrat majority, without Republican cooperation or bipartisanship. And therefore, we need somebody else who's going to ride herd and control where this train is headed. So I think it's appropriate that we keep it as a partisan office and people vote and realize what they're getting. They'll either get somebody who's a appropriate skeptic of the wherewithal of the majority party, or a go-along, get-along, march-along individual who will just be at the service and beck and call of the majority.
Explain the part of being Secretary of State that includes being on the state land board.
Yeah, so the state land board there's two boards, actually, that the Secretary of State also is a part of. One of those is a member of the land board, which is land use board, which is a very small group of individuals, the treasurer, the Secretary of State, and the governor. And those individuals set the tone for how land use will get organized, utilized, or modified from a commission or board level. They don't have any legislative power, but they set the direction that the legislature should follow. And then the sustainability board, like we started this discussion, I have lived off the grid for 30 years. I used to write a newsletter as the Dirt Road Economist, because everything we touch, everything that leads to our prosperity at your home, your stud walls, whether they're steel studs or Douglas fir studs, the kitchen table, the floor, the carpeting, the wallboard, the windows, the glass, your computer, my computer, your phone, my phone. Everything comes off of a dirt road somewhere. And you'll recognize this when it comes to food sources and agriculture. Sustainability has to be our calling, because we've got to raise and produce the food and agriculture that will support our families, our lives, and our prosperity. This includes not only the products that you see daily on the market that didn't used to be there, like avocados and bananas and pineapples. How is it we have pineapples year round? How is it we have tangerines and oranges year round, and tomatoes as well, and fresh grapes? They're available because people are managing these natural resources and providing this for the prosperous and productive use of citizens at large. That is a stewardship model for sustainability. It's not a don't cut it because I love it the way it is model. It's a model that says we've been blessed with these resources. We should use them wisely. And I look forward to being a board member on that board.
Couple minutes left. As you travel around the state, what are the main things you're hearing from residents about the Secretary of State's office?
As I mentioned before, the lingering unresolved issues and complaints that get stifled because of the Secretary of State's MDM policy, that's misinformation, disinformation, and malinformation policy, that supposedly is an artificial intelligence software package that focuses on things that are, quote, untrue or harmful or hateful or whatever. But the truth is, you could hate green beans and I could love them. And that's just a perspective. It's a viewpoint. To call your viewpoint about green beans hateful and allow my viewpoint about green beans to get promoted in the marketplace is absurd. You've got your ideas, you've got your preferences, you've got your likes and dislikes, as do I. And we should be able to seriously question, ask, probe, think about all of these issues because they're fundamental to who we are as humans. So these foundational principles, free speech, your right to your own conscience, your right of behavior, your fundamental human rights and human dignity are all wrapped up in this issue. And for the Secretary of State to pretend that they know what's best because they're going to preserve good governance of the Democrat majority is a false notion. We should be willing to make changes as appropriate, where appropriate, when appropriate. And I look forward to bringing that to the Secretary of State's office.
Republican Dennis Linthicum, current state senator running for Secretary of State. We're out of time. Thanks for being on today.
Thank you.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.